This is the Talking Tigers Podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
Auburn football's coaching search came to a close last Monday. Hugh Freeze was named the Tigers head coach. In his press conference, he announced Carnell Williams would remain on staff as associate head coach and running backs coach. Freeze comes to Auburn after 6 years as Liberty's head coach. He also has stints at Lambeth, Arkansas State, and Ole Miss. You'll hear John Cohen's introduction of Freeze at the press conference and my conversation with the Tigers head coach following. Hugh Freeze is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Alabama Public Health.
First of all, before I get started, I want to recognize Coach Carnell Williams, who did an incredible job as our interim coach and just a tremendous job as a leader, not only for our football program, for our university as well. And where's Carnell? I know Coach Williams had a great meeting with Coach Freeze last night, and I'm just thrilled to say I think we're going to have two great leaders leading this football program, and so excited about that. Love to thank our football team. It's never easy with what our football team has been through this season. We know they've been through a difficult time, but my goodness, the last 4 weeks, they have played very, very hard football, and we really recognize how the effort that they've given. I want to recognize, I want to recognize Dr. Chris Roberts, who's been incredibly supportive throughout this process as well. And I want to get into the search just a little bit, and I'm going to get the star of the show up here very quickly, I promise, but because we wanted to do a thoughtful and thorough search, we spoke in person and electronically to industry experts, teachers, professional and college coaches, law enforcement officials, student athletes, parents of student athletes, and many others. We used a search firm and analytics firms, law firms. We spoke to many administrators at each institution that represented a part of all of our candidates' past. We were in search of opinion for sure, but more importantly, we were in search of the truth, and we found it. Hugh Freeze was at the top of our list from the beginning, and we never wavered from that. The combination of on-field success, student-athlete development, recruiting at a high level, along with Coach Freeze's personal inventory of his life, his transparency, and his family support were of the utmost importance to us in this process. In a short time, I've become highly influenced by the Auburn Creed, and I refer to it often. As the Auburn family knows, the Creed states that we believe in hard work. Hugh Freeze was raised on a dairy farm. He knows what hard work is. He also worked his way up from the high school level to the very highest level of college football, the Southeastern Conference. Coach Freeze was completely transparent with his past transgressions. He showed remorse and had an accountability plan that he's used for the last 5+ years. Everything he disclosed to us turned out to be accurate after speaking with credible industry sources. In this way, Coach Freeze was honest and truthful, another Auburn Creed characteristic. Coach Freeze presented to us a detailed written plan that he has for each of his student athletes and directly involves their future, a preparation for a career after football. In this manner, he displayed a belief in education, another mainstay of the Auburn Creed. Perhaps Coach Freeze's greatest accomplishment is his relationship with his wife, Jill, with whom he has been married for the last 30 years. Jill? Where's Jill? Yes, that's the rock star, Jill Freeze. We also want to recognize and really thankful that they were here today. Reagan and her husband, Ryan, Jordan and her husband, Mark, and Madison. Welcome to you all. And then with that, I would like to introduce to you Auburn's 31st head football coach, Coach Hugh Freeze.
Welcome, and War Eagle.
Well, thank you, and War Eagle to you.
Describe what the last 48 hours has been like for you and the family.
Zero sleep for me. But a lot of joy, a lot of just having the family together, knowing that this has kind of been a dream, and now you're living it and walking in it. It's pretty surreal also. And then you go back and forth between it's surreal and it's awesome, and oh my gosh, I have so much to do and I can't get it all done. And so I battle that going back and forth, but it's been an incredible welcoming from the Auburn family, and our family's grateful.
What was it like to go through the process with John Cohen leading the search?
Man, he's extremely thorough, and he's extremely patient, and he takes the time to gather facts and truth, and I appreciate that about him. And I enjoyed all of my conversations with him. I thought he was easy to communicate with, easy to talk to, and was fair in seeking, really, man, let me get to know you. And I thought he did that beautifully with Jill, and I so did Rich and Lee and the team that he was using. So it was enjoyable. I knew he was somebody I could enjoy working for.
The last 6 years at Liberty, how valuable has that been for you, one, as a person, and two, as a head football coach?
Oh, as a person, you know, I think you grow more in the times of failure if you handle them the right way than you probably do in the successes. I mean, the mountaintops are beautiful, but usually the fruit is grown in the valleys. And I think that's kind of where I've been, and there's been a lot of growth in me over the last 6 years, from trying to be more committed and disciplined on a daily life to your faith, your family, and your friends. Family also meaning my team and administration and university family, and learning to be a better listener. That's kind of been my goals. I'm still doing that, and you know, so, and then as a football, it's been incredible. I mean, to take an FCS program that's transitioning to FBS and win at least 8 games every season, undefeated in bowl games, 4 Power 5 wins, and Malik Willis gets drafted. I mean, all of that happening that fast and that quick, it's been remarkable, and I think it's a testament to the players, the administration, and the staff we had there.
It would seem that each time you've taken the role as a head coach, that school was in a transition. Mm-hmm. And I think you can say the same thing here at Auburn. What has been a key or keys for you in taking that transition and moving forward and doing it with success?
I hope it doesn't change. I mean, people don't even realize, my first head job in college was Lambeth University. It won 2 games the year before we got there, and we immediately won 9 the first year and 12 the second year. Then Arkansas State had never had a winning season, and since it had transitioned to FBS, we won 10 games there in a conference championship. And then Ole Miss was really in the wilderness with 0 SEC wins, and we turned that and won 7 games in year 1, then 8, then 9, then 10, and Liberty was the same way. So I think something's working, and I think it's the culture, and I think that really surrounds – I can set it, but I got to have a staff that really buys in to drive it, and I think that's why these hires are so critical.
Let's talk about the staff. And how quickly in your mind that that needs to occur, especially with signing day coming up on December 21st, the transfer portal, so many things going on.
Yeah, it can't happen fast enough, and it can't. So I'm hopeful between that and evaluating our current roster and where we are in recruiting on different positions. I've got to get a grasp on that ASAP.
You talked about the culture, and that comes from your staff. Can you define what does that mean to you?
Chasing the standard of our culture every single day as well as we can, but faith, attitude, mental toughness, integrity, and love, chasing those things. And we've got to define what those mean to everyone, which I did in the press conference, and we will again, I did to the team this morning, but living out that by the way the decisions we make, the way we're working, the energy we bring, the passion, the positive energy, accountability, all of it. I've got to have a group of people in the locker room that drive that train. I can be the voice in the team room. Cadillac can be the voice in the team room. But when you got to get it in the locker room, and I got to identify who those guys are.
How important is Cadillac to this equation to you?
I think the best way I could put it is invaluable. I really believe that. I just think in this transition time and where we are at Auburn football and with the Auburn family, that he is a catalyst for all this good right now. And I just think he's invaluable to me, and I'm glad he's partnering with me.
You mentioned during the press conference that you've observed Auburn these last few weeks. What did you observe?
I was really amazed at how hard and passionate, how much fun they were having, the energy they had for a team that was 3 wins. And trust me, it's not easy to motivate a team with 8 wins. I had that trouble this year. We won a lot of big games, but I'm telling you, finishing a season is hard in college football. Much less if you're not bowl eligible and you only have 3 wins, your coach just got let go, and nobody knows their future of other coaches. And that's hard to walk in that building every day and then perform like they performed with. Sure, they made mistakes or whatever, but man, the energy and fun and passion, not just them, but the fans. I was thoroughly impressed.
You have the reputation of developing quarterbacks. Where did that start? Where does that come from for you?
I think it comes from our system. I think I teach in a way that helps them understand the game and where the game should be played on a given play, post-snap, which is a little different. Not a lot of coaches feel good about giving up that control. But I've got to believe that I can teach it well enough for our quarterbacks to know, man, all right, coach, you talk post-snap, this safety is the insert player, this is the field I need to play on. And I think it's quarterback friendly as long as they can be a fundamentally accurate passer. I need help with that. I think my gift is teaching them the game and making correct decisions and getting the protection set and all of that. But, man, I've had some great fundamentally quarterback coaches that were really good. That's a great compliment to me. And Ole Miss had Dan Werner, who was excellent. Liberty had Ken Austin, who's brilliant and one of the best to ever do it. And so I can't take total credit for the development. I think I'm pretty good at helping them learn the game.
Who do you consider a mentor as a coach?
Bobby Bowden is who, not as X's and O's, but I just loved his personality and the way that people were drawn to him. And he was honest and real and dadgummit and, you know, just was comfortable being himself. And obviously he was a man of faith, which I admire. And intertwining this profession with that is sometimes difficult. And you might get set to a different standard than some. And it's just, you know, I admired the heck out of him, and he really treated me with great respect to being a young guy. I won his award, the Bobby Bowden Award, 1 year at the AFCA, and just his kindness to me was remarkable. And you hear story after story of that's the way he was. So I would say, you know, that's a guy that I would look to hopefully be looked similar to.
Was there ever a time after Ole Miss if you wondered you would be a head college football coach again?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, 2 years of it.
Yeah.
And then I started getting, you know, opportunities to be an OC at quality programs. And so then the hope began, and I knew I've got to go to work, and I got to earn the way back. I don't deserve anything. I've got to earn it. And that was kind of my mentality. And, you know, obviously the door to go to Liberty opened at the same time some of these OCs. And I like being a head coach, and went and saw the place and was kind of blown away with it, truthfully. And then started winning there. But you still have in the back of your mind, will you ever get the opportunity to do it at the highest level again? And so to be sitting here today, we feel very humble and blessed.
It's a great day for Auburn Tigers to get vaccinated. COVID and flu vaccines are an important tool to help stop the pandemic. The Alabama Department of Public Health is offering the COVID and flu vaccines to anyone 6 months and older. COVID and flu are still on the rise. Don't let COVID and flu stop you from supporting your favorite team. Continue to help protect yourself, your friends, and our campus by getting the COVID and flu vaccines. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
For someone that is the offensive side, that's what you're known for, that's your background, how do you coach the defense? And what do you look for in your defensive philosophy, defensive coaches?
I hire the right guy and then let him do his job. Truthfully, that's it for me. I don't get too involved other than I want to know what's going on third down and red zone defense. And the rest of it, I hired you to do it. And I'm going to hire someone who has a track record of doing it and doing it well. And at some point now, I try to create the culture and create the energy and the passion and relationship with those kids. But I'm going to hire a defensive staff and really trust them to get the job done. Everybody's got a different philosophy, so whoever I hire, I've got to let them do what they believe in. I hope we're a team that creates negative plays, though. I think that's vital in today's game.
You mentioned in the press conference red zone offense. You just talked about red zone defense. What is your philosophy other than scoring on offense and not preventing the score on defense?
Hold them to field goals, man, on defense. In today's game, offenses are going to move the ball. They got too good of players, and these systems, the game, the rules are kind of skewed to the offense a little bit. So there's most games people are going to move the ball, but I think if you really bow your neck and make them kick field goals, you got a good chance to win the game. And sometimes you get frustrated as an offensive coach and you foolishly go for it because you don't want to settle for three, and that can backfire in a hurry too. So I think, we just got to be stingy in the red zone and don't give up touchdowns. Let's hold them to field goals.
Your philosophy from an offensive standpoint, when someone says, all right, well, what is the Hugh Freeze offense?
It's multiple RPO, tempo-driven offense with NFL passing concepts. That's really what it is. And I don't go as fast as I did at Ole Miss, typically. I can, but I've really kind of matured into being this, I want to play complementary football. And really at Liberty, you know, probably some of our best wins. I know BYU this year, it was a huge win for us, and our defense played 58 plays. And, you know, you get the talent right in this room and your defense only has to play that many plays, chances are pretty good we're going to be in good shape.
The importance of your relationship with your players, and I know that may sound basic.
No, I think it's players have to come first. And in this day and time, you better work at it. There is no more of this, hey, just do what I say. Just do what I say and don't come see me. Just do what I say and stay out of trouble and get your grades and let's hope that scoreboard works out. That don't work anymore. And you got to spend an enormous amount of time building the relationship with them and the trust with them. And then I think some of the results you want will come.
Before you were contacted by Auburn for this job, what did you know of Auburn?
Well, I've had so many friends that their love for this place, whether they're an assistant coach, head coach, or just people that are Auburn fans that I've run across, in whether in Memphis playing golf or you know, obviously coaching here in the SEC and knowing how, man, gosh, this is a hard place to play. This is, they're passionate. And then having a daughter go here and now live here, I think I've had quite the education on the passion that the people have for this place. So it was, and family's important, which is very important to me. And I just think Auburn is an incredible fit for us.
You've been a part of some good rivalries in the past. Here, of course, it's the Iron Bowl and then the Georgia rivalry, which is the oldest in the Deep South. Your thought about rival games, and especially at this point when the two arch rivals on the schedule are two of the top teams, not only in this league, but in the country at this point.
Yeah, we've got our work cut out for us. Yeah. They're ahead of us right now, and that's reality. And we've got to try to close that gap so that on a given day coming in the fall, we have a chance to compete with a chance to win. How quickly that can happen in closing the gap, I'm not sure yet. I got to get in there and figure that out. But, you know, there's only one way to get there, and that's to start. And let's close it a little in year one, and we'll see what the scoreboard says.
The importance of the transfer portal, especially in year one for you.
It's going to be big in year one, I believe. I think there's still some unknowns of exactly what that's going to look like next Monday, I believe, when it opens. You know, is it going to be more that enter it in this first time? Or are they going to wait till spring? And after spring, I want to seek some more opinions on that. I go back and forth on what I think that's going to look like. And the last thing you want to do is settle because, well, yeah, he's in the portal and we need a body. But, man, we're not in love with him. And it may be some positions we have to do that. But I think if you wait, you might – even get better. So we've got to be patient and smart, but there's no question the portal is going to be vital in year one, every year, but for sure this year.
Do you enjoy the recruitment part of the job?
I enjoy the relational recruiting, yes. Do I really enjoy some of the new aspects to it? Probably not, but it is what it is, and everybody's dealing with it at this level, so you got to embrace it. I just don't know that there's any true parameters or if you ever know exactly what you're really dealing with. And I like it when relationships really have a chance to win. And there's other elements to it now that we've got to be involved in.
The idea of a second chance, not just for you, but for anyone.
Yeah.
How important is that for you?
Well, you know, I've been blessed to have second chances and now another one here in the SEC. And I think people in general, man, if you have remorse and know you own what you did and you are making changes and fighting to for that not to be, it's something you did, but it's not who you are, I think everybody would want a second chance and would want someone to give it to them. I would lean toward doing that with people, and I'm thankful that many have seen me that way, and obviously excited to have this chance here.
Talk about your family.
Yeah, they're the rocks, mm-hmm. The rock stars, the heroes of the story. My wife's the most amazing woman, just strong grit, toughness, and grace, and three beautiful daughters are just, they love their daddy, and I don't know why they love him so much, but they do. And I'm just grateful that God has blessed me with those in my life. I just couldn't do it without them. And for us to be all together to do this is really dang special.
Your press conference was held in this building. We're in the new weight room of the Waltos Football Performance Center. How important is that a piece for you and this program moving forward?
Oh, I think I haven't even seen it all, but I can't wait. Yeah. And I think the commitment level that's shown by this building, by the university, this boosters, and the administration, this is a recruiting hit. And this kind of goes back to my deal. Let's just come and see. Once they feel the family culture added to the commitment that our people have made to NIL and to facilities, I mean, come on. You know, why can't we win on a recruit?
Describe what a day was like in your childhood. How early were you getting up?
4:30, go get the cows. I had to do the morning shift because I played ball. Okay. So you milk cows two times a day, and you know, I had to do the morning shift, and some of the others would do the afternoon shift. So I had to go get the cows. I remember the smell, the the winter mornings where you have coveralls on and your boots, and it taught me hard work. Then you go to class, go to school, and then you go play ball. That's all I knew, is farming, ball. Summertime, you're on the tractor doing the row crops plus milking, because you weren't in season then, so you got a full day then. So a lot of hard work, but it taught me a lot.
If Dad called today, could you go back and put in a day for him?
Oh, yeah. But they sold the cows, thank God. I was so thankful the day they sold the cows. I was a senior, and that was that they sold the cows. Kept all the tractors. I enjoyed the field work. I just didn't really enjoy the milking part.
Okay. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you,
and
Andy.
We're glad to have you as Auburn's football coach.
Thank you so much.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
For Hugh Freeze and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.